Hello.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Yusuf.
And Genoa.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment. And we are still in full swing of the Blackly Black History Month. That just makes my day. That's how we excited. We got to edify and to enlighten you all these Blackity Black movies this month.
And not just highlight movies that are focused on Black characters, but also help elevate so that people realize it's just not white movies out there, especially in the month of Oscars. So white.
That too. Yeah. So if all you people out there who...
There are good stories that...
They're awesome stories. Yes.
That aren't just white people stories.
Right. And they're very... And there are a lot of diverse Black stories. So, yes. You know, Black stories aren't pigeonholed to one or two things.
Right. Right. So one of the movies we'll do this month focuses on that.
Yes. But today...
It's a throwback.
Yes, yeah, definitely a throwback. Well, actually, Thursday.
It'll be
Thursday.
Sweet.
Yes. Yeah, so we have the whole theme going on here, right? But today we are reviewing Harriet, the 2019 release.
Right. So... for those of you that aren't familiar with U.S. history, Harriet is a story of Harriet Tubman, who is a slave that escaped from slavery and then did approximately 19 runs from the north to the south to help other slaves escape to freedom.
Exactly.
And anywhere from 70 to 300 slaves that she helped.
Yeah, pretty much. So she was born Araminta Ross. That was her
slave name.
Yeah.
And they called her Mitty.
Yeah, either Mitty or Moses.
Well, Moses was her the name given to her after she started helping slaves escape when she was a slave herself.
Yeah, she was Minty. Yeah.
And then once slaves escaped, they were asked what name that they would like to be, because they are now their free self so that they get to define themselves.
Exactly.
And she picked Harriet because that was her mom's name, mm-hmm. and Tubman because that was her husband's name.
Exactly. So she was getting the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Born in Dorchester County, Maryland in 1822, March of 1822, at least on record, and died March 10th, 1913.
Yes.
At the age of 90.
Yeah, she was in her 90s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was in her 90s, yes.
Because we aren't sure about when she was born. She was either 90 or 91.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, the slave records back then, you know, it wasn't really reliable.
Well, right. It's the same as people keeping track of cattle today. They have a bunch of cattle. They don't know when all of them are actually born.
Yep, pretty much. So this particular adaptation, Cynthia Erivo plays Harriet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Erivo, we were just talking about this off the air.
At the El Royale. She is amazing in that movie.
Yeah, amazing. Holy voice.
Shit. Yes,
amazing voice. And she was in Widows. she had a small but amazing part in that movie. And she's going to be in the upcoming Aretha Franklin film.
Okay. And she's right now on
a
TV show called The Outsiders on HBO, or The Outsider.
The Outsider. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So she's doing her thing. I mean, amazing actress. Her voice is ridiculous. Like, if you hear her sing, like, oh my, wow.
I mean, just go watch the Bad Times at the El Royale for her singing. I mean, it is chills.
Especially, there's a scene where she just had to repeat a song a cappella, mm-hmm. and like, she holds those notes just why, like, yeah, she know how to sing.
Yeah.
That girl can sing. And who else is in here that's worth highlighting? Oh, Janelle Monáe.
Right. Most people know her as a singer before an actress, but she did a nice job of playing a Black woman that was never raised in slavery, that was helping other slaves become them true selves.
Right. And it's a good juxtaposition from like the urgency of Harriet and her attitude, and more of like the laid back, you know, lifestyle of Marie. Because Marie don't understand why Harry is just so, yeah, we got to go. I got to do this.
Right. Their first interaction between the two of them is very telling in that Marie, played by Janelle Monáe, says, first things first, you need to go take a bath because you smell like a barn animal. Right. And Harriet, played by Cynthia, goes, I guess you've never had to run for your life in fear, thinking that you'd be
exactly. No, I mean, it was,
and she immediately, Marie was immediately like, "You're right. Thank you for correcting me."
Right. See, no, accept corrections. Yeah. Don't be offended by it. That's how we grow as people, as humans.
It is a scary thing to admit when you are wrong, but admit you're wrong, and people will respect you more for it, and you will learn.
Yeah. And you move on and you're a better person for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the movie starts out with, you know, Harriet in the plantation with her husband. Right. And I think the owners.
So her original owner had actually sold, had passed away. Right. And on his death, he said that he was going to give her freedom so that she could be with her husband.
Right.
And the new plantation owner, his son, said, I'm not going to give you your freedom. You're my property and I can't afford to lose a slave.
Exactly.
My property.
Right.
and so she actually tries to come in. So this wasn't very clear in the movie versus what actually happened in real history. They definitely did some revisionist history.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
in the movie.
Yeah. They took a lot of privileges.
Yeah. So in real life, Harriet's husband actually wanted to sell her for the money. So in the movie, it's the plantation owner that goes to sell her because they need money because the plantation is going bankrupt.
Right.
So this encourages her to run for her freedom. And she runs from, where were they? They were in Virginia or?
Yeah, I believe they're Virginia.
It's wherever 110 miles south of Philadelphia is.
Yeah, she made it. She made it up there. Yeah.
So she runs, gets to Philadelphia and starts her new life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the whole movie. That's just like the first 10 minutes. Of the movie.
Yeah. So that's like act one, you know, we see our hero, like the driving force.
And during all of that, like time, we see that she is, connected to God, so to speak.
Yeah, she has a strong spiritual connection.
Yeah, she has visions, and she believes that those visions come from God, and he's guiding her on her way to freedom.
Even though in real, well, actual accounts is, she suffered from seizures.
Right.
Yeah, because one of the slave masters, like, hit her with a weight at 13.
Right. And she was basically in a coma for, I think, 2 months.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And that led to
seizures
and narcolepsy.
Right.
And so there's times where she would just drop down and fall asleep. And she believes that.
Yeah.
That was a sign from God to give her visions.
Yeah. And to let her know what she need
to do.
To do.
Yeah. Right. And how to escape other
situations. Yeah. yeah. So, you know, she has.
So we learn all that in the first act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then she have that motivation of like, hey, I left some people behind. I'm going to go get him.
Right. Well, so she starts to build her life in Philadelphia, and then she has another one of these dreams or visions, and she believes that her family's in danger. Uh-huh. And so she has to go back and get them. And one of her contacts in Philly is like, you know, I don't work for you. I'm not just the Harriet Tubman Family Rescue Center. Right. I'm here to help all slaves. And she's like, well, I'm going to go do it myself.
Exactly. So, yeah, because she befriended the lawyer, like the black lawyer.
Yeah, that helps all of the slaves get new papers.
Papers, right.
Yeah, they're freedom papers.
Yeah, pretty much everyone, like, he was like, oh, you crazy? Like, you might not come back. So she
goes to Marie and she's like, Marie, I need to go save my family. I had a vision from God. Mm-hmm. And Marie gives her some clues on how to act like a upper class black woman when she goes to the South, and reminds her that because you're going to the South, they won't think that you're an escaped slave, because escaped slaves wouldn't be headed South.
Right. Or wouldn't be as articulate.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. So this is the beginning of us seeing Harriet use different disguises as she heads South to help free the slaves. Mm-hmm. So the first set of slaves she's trying to actually go down and free are her sister and brothers. And at that point, she does go back to her husband, and she finds out that he's with another woman. Mm-hmm. And so she leaves him behind. Screw that dude.
Well, he thought she was dead.
Right.
That's just like, was it Helen Hunt and Castaway? I mean, right. Tom Hanks was gone for like 4 years. Anyway, right. Moving on.
I mean, where were his visions from God?
Well, it was only Harriet.
She wasn't gone that long before he knocked up another woman.
Well, you know, the turnover is pretty fast back then, I'm sure. Like, if your sibling don't come back after like a night, you're going to be like, yeah, he's either hung. He or she either hung or like burned somewhere. Damn it. I loved her or him.
Okay. Point taken. Gotcha. Point taken. They probably couldn't really build strong connections. And
exactly. And then when you do build a strong connections, chances are
the slave master is going to use it against you to control you.
Either that or just splinter the family altogether. Right. We have one person sell the wife and have one person, you know, buy the sons.
Right. Yep.
Yep. So yeah, it's hard.
It's just about how much money you can get for the slaves you can sell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's
you just, don't care about that family unit.
No, it's like you said, property, like cattle. It's cattle. Yeah, I give you like three of these cattle. Like, yeah, how much? Yeah, take them. Mm-hmm. But they're her sons. Whatever. Yeah, sell. Yeah, you good. Yeah, so that was the mentality. Property, right? You know, cattle. They're cattle. So just imagine that. Let that sink in. When people talk about slavery and like not being perceived as a human, but, you know, livestock, literally, yeah, you just consider it livestock.
Except a lot of times they treated their livestock better than their slaves.
Exactly.
So,
okay. And in this case, if the slaves were perceived as livestock, then a lot of these slave owners were accused of bestiality. Mm-hmm. Right. So, come on.
I mean, well, that's why a lot of people that had children with them wouldn't admit that they're their children, not just because they're black children.
Yeah, pretty much. No. So, was it
Jefferson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he did his thing. You know, he threw the cream in the coffee. So, but it is what it is. We all mutts end of the day. If you're American and you have a bloodline that reigns generations, most likely you're mutt.
Yeah, but it's sad because for a very large group of people in the United States, they don't know. Yes, they know that they're mutts, but they don't know where they actually came from, because their family history has been torn away from them because they were treated like livestock.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, even then, like even with African-Americans who try to, you know, trace bloodlines to the motherland. I mean, that's so difficult. But, you know, it is what it is. All right. So where are we with Harriet? Where's she at now?
So now she's headed back to her original owner's ranch, farm, plantation. to free her family. Her husband refuses, her sister refuses, but she convinces her brothers and a couple other people to head back. And they actually think that... So they're running, and then while they're out running from the plantation owners, the plantation owners have figured out some slaves have escaped. So they're out hunting down these slaves and meet up with slave hunters. So fun fact, not all slave hunters were white. Mm-hmm. Some of them were black.
Yeah, a very small percentage. A very, very, very small percentage of them. Yeah. But yes, yeah. Yeah.
So while they're out running, Harriet gets a vision from God that we should not cross the bridge. We should cross the river up here. And
yeah, and they're like, no.
Right.
You see how deep that river? No.
Right. We don't know how to swim. Right. We'll die. Like, we're going to go to the bridge. And she pulls out her gun. She's like, you're going to follow me. They're I don't think so.
Right.
And so she starts walking across, and she gets halfway, and the water's up to her neck, and she does her little prayer. And
then it shallows back up, and she comes back up on the other side.
So everyone thinks that she is sent from God to help save them, and hence the reason why she has the nickname Moses.
She crossed
the river,
and the gun was her staff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. She needed a tablet to like on her like left hand and gun to the right.
So that was her third name. So she had her original slave name, she had her freedom name Harriet, and then she had the secret name that all of the slaves gave her, which was Moses, because they were helping them to their freedom, similar to how Moses helped.
Exactly. And back then, we our Morris code was song.
Right.
So she would sing certain things, and the slaves would catch what she's saying in the song. You know, and decode him like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So tonight we'll be running. Over. Okay. Yeah. Sweet. All right. So we'll meet you. All right. Cool. So that was, you know, so the African American, you know, Morris code, you know, within the plantation to communicate. So, you know, the white slave owners wouldn't know what the hell they
wouldn't catch on.
Yeah. You know, they think they're just singing like, oh, okay. Yeah. As long as they picking that cotton, whatever, saying what you want to say. But yeah, it was code and it was smart. Yeah. So at this point, we have the white slave owner and the black slave hunter.
Right. So the slave owner is his name is Gideon Broadness in the movie, played by Joe Alwyn.
Okay.
And the I forget who the slave hunter is. Oh, it's Omar Dorsey.
Yeah.
And his character's name is Bigger.
Bigger Long. Yes. Yes.
So basically, like, now we get the montage of Harriet helping a bunch of slaves escape and people chasing her and her getting away.
Yeah.
And we come to the end of the second act where the white... plantation owners are losing so many slaves to the north that there's a law passed. I forget what the name of the law is, but it's basically that the plantation owners can go to the north and get their slaves back. So have a lot of white plantation owners invade Philadelphia because that's where the slaves were sort of
those. Yeah, they were like we're up north now.
Right. So
bye. Like, you can't get to us. But then like, ooh, psych. We got to get to you.
So we see Gideon in Philly, and he sees Harriet at the ships, and she is able to escape from him.
Mm-hmm.
But before that encounter, the docks, Harriet actually sees Maria get killed by Gideon and Bigger.
And Bigger actually kills Maria. Yeah.
How does he kill her? He just He just steps on her face, right?
Yeah, just do it like a hard Hulk style stomp to the face. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. There you go.
I mean, she was not used to being beat, so she didn't have the stamina for being beat.
Yeah, I mean, especially not by like a big like Hulk looking figure that looked like he can land a punch that can deliver about a ton to the face.
Right.
Yeah.
So now Harriet and all of the other freedom fighters have moved up to Albany, New York, and now the train to get slaves free is actually not just the northern states. It is they have to get all the way up to Canada. So that makes their run, changes their run from 100 miles, which you can do in a couple days or a week, uh-huh, to 300 miles, 500 miles.
Sure.
Somewhere. Let's average it out to 400 miles.
Yeah, we average that out.
Which could take them up to a month to do. So there's more dangers. And Harriet decides that she needs to make one last run to the south to get her sister, her mom, and her dad and everything. And she goes down there and there's more slaves that want to escape. And this is the beginning of the final act.
Right. So what, Bigger Long and Gideon, like, I guess catch her running through the woods or something like that. And they're chasing her. And Bigger Long is about to kill Harriet, but Gideon kills Bigger, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
Yeah. And so Harriet gets the upper hand on Gideon and is about to kill Gideon, the slave owner, but she don't do it. I forget. She delivers a line like a kumbaya line, whatever.
Of course.
Yeah. And then
I'm sure Jesus steadied her hand.
Yeah. And she leaves and he's feeling remorseful, but I'm sure at the end of the credits he will go back to the plantation and continue his business. So I don't think there are any profound changes with this particular character.
I don't think so, because at the end of the day he had a plantation to run, so he was more upset about losing the slaves because he needed to sell them off to help save the plantation.
Exactly. And so she goes her way. She confronted the slave owner. He feels sorry. And she goes about her life and her continuous. Wait a minute. She was still doing the runs, I think. Right.
So she did 19 runs.
Right.
Some of them were from the south to Philly. Some of them were from the south to Albany. I'm not sure what the breakdown of that is, but she did that for a while. Then when the Civil War started, she was actually a scout and a spy for them.
They should have made that
for right. And so she did that for just over three years. And then after that, she just became a housewife, basically.
Hey, she did her part. She can chill. I mean, she put in her work. Like, she just wanna just chill and make pies. Look, she deserved it. She did whatever the hell she wanted to do. Made some recipes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she ended up marrying a man that was 20 years her junior. So way to go, Harriet.
Let the young bug put in all the work.
Uh-huh. You've done your job. You've saved those people. Now it's time to have some fun.
Yes. So your old oats.
And her and her husband they had a garden in the backyard and made pies and sold fruit and vegetables and stuff.
I mean, what more could you want? That's amazing.
So she actually, after the, so most scouts or spies during the Civil War made on average $60 a month for doing that. After the war, she petitioned the government to be paid for all of her time working for them.
Uh-huh.
And she was only asking for $30 a month, so half of what the White Scouts were being paid. And it took her something like another 3-5 years to get that money.
Sounds about right.
But she eventually was paid for all of her time. So I mean, half the price, but I mean, that discrepancy in pay still continues still to happening. This day. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah. So there you have it. This is American hit. This is American history. And that's the thing. I think we need to switch up the conversation when we start talking about, you know, figures like, you know, Harriet Tubman and all these other, you know, African-American, you know, historical, you know, figures. I think we need to start like taking them out of the black slot and into the American slot, because this is American history. Like this, slavery is an American thing. This happened in America. This is the blood. I mean, the timeline of American history. So therefore, you know, this is an American story. It's not a black story.
Right.
It's an American story. I mean, people don't really want to phrase it like that, but it is.
Well, and the interesting thing is that, at least in my history classes, they really only focus. You maybe get a little paragraph that says Harriet Tubman helped in the Underground Railroad free slaves and take slaves to the North. But what would be fascinating to your point is, like, what was she doing during the Civil War? I know she was a scout and a spy, but I want more details on that, because that sounds way more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, her life could be like a trilogy. I mean, like, this is like the slave, you know, liberation type part of part two is like the whole spy story. And part three is just like the transition into her normal life and, you know, married, boom.
Right.
But yeah.
So she was going to be, she may still end up on the $20 bill. Replacing. Yeah, I
probably need to change up the administration before we can.
Right. Well, it's been put on hold for the next 6 years. So they released a sketch in 2019 of what the $20 bill would look like. Mm-hmm. But it's been on delayed because they're changing the dollars for more security issues, supposedly. But it could be the current administration.
If I was a gambling person, I would say it's the current administration.
Right.
Cool. All right. So
wait, before we recorded this, you said that you weren't, this wasn't a movie that you wanted to watch. So why was that? Or you weren't thrilled about watching.
I wasn't thrilled about watching this. Well, one. Okay. Like I
said, you guys should see his face right now. he's very torn about admitting why he doesn't want to watch.
No, you guys gonna hear it. You guys gonna hear this, and I don't care. I don't care, you guys, because y'all need to hear this. So here's the thing. At least this is my opinion, and this is solely me and how I feel being African American man in this country. And I think most African Americans can kind of agree, like, in general, slave movies in general. Yeah, it must be shown. Like, these stories must be told. These stories must go out to people who need to know about the atrocities of slavery.
Right.
Like the institution, like the tyranny of it all. Yes.
But I feel like this was a very soft version of that.
That's what I'm about to get to. Yeah, this is like, you know, this is light. But
I mean, it was a PG-13, so they couldn't show the reality of.
I was hoping that Spike Lee would have took Harriet Tubman movie, because he would have made this movie 3 hours long. It would have been rated R, and he would have shown what was really happening down there and with her. But I digress. Okay. And another thing. Okay.
I mean, that this was made for teachers to show in a history class.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. Like and that's what I'm saying. And one end, I'm not hating on this movie because yes, like this should be shown. Like people need to see the generalization of what she did.
Right.
Right. You know, it's palpable, you know, it won't make white people feel too bad about what they did, you know, cool. That's cool. But on the flip side of it, especially with Harriet, I felt really betrayed and I felt really offended. Because Harriet Tubman is, we don't get a lot of Black women in history that as bad as Harriet Tubman was.
And she's fucking, like, go on to HarrietTubman.com or .org.
Yeah.
And read just the facts. Like, she was beyond a badass.
She would shoot him off, like, in a second.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you come within 3 feet, like, you're getting popped. Like, she didn't care. And like
they touched into the whole Jesus thing too much for me on this personally.
I agree with that also. I think for me, it was a lot of twisting and manipulating her narrative for everyone to feel good. Yeah. Not necessarily to tell her story, but to make certain people feel good about watching it.
Palatable.
Exactly. And another issue. sorry. I got to go in. I'm sorry. I have to stress this.
I mean, I asked.
Yeah. Well, strap in because here we go. Now, like I said, again, being a black man in America, I understand and fully realize that, like, every day with media, you know, with music, imagery, all that, like, my reputation is under attack. My integrity is constantly under attack. You know, my well-being is constantly under attack. I know that. And this is the cardinal, like, sin for me with this movie. Okay, now we mentioned...
The slave hunter.
We mentioned the slave. You're right, there were a handful of them. This particular slave hunter is not factually a person. Like, even they say, like, that he's made up. And the Janelle Monáe character is made up also. There were no factual accounts of her either. So here's my thing. Why?
If you're going to do a made up character, do you have to do it as a black man?
Yes, exactly. So that's my point. It's like, okay, this is a Harriet Tubman story. Like, okay, why do I have to see a character that you didn't even have to put in there because he's fictional? Like, he made a conscious effort to make a fictional, big, burly black man
right
on a hunt to kill another black woman, while the slave owner is kind of hands off, like, okay, yeah, you kill him. You know, I sent the order, but I ain't trying to kill her.
Right.
You know, it's that. It's like reading between the lines of, like, why? Like, why is he even in this story?
Right. And which is surprising because the director is a black woman. So you think she would. Right.
Remember we were talking about the house Negro feel Negro?
That'd be yes.
Okay, boom. That's all I'm going to say on that one. Anyway, so, like, and that's the thing. It's like,
the director is also the writer. So,
There you go. You know, got to make Massa look good. And that's my point. I think when I watched it and I was seeing him and what he did to Janelle Monáe, I'm like, okay, so what I took away from this movie is the black man. Okay, now, like, we get this all the time because every time we see a black dude, you know, he's not every time, but the stereotypical.
Right. He's a gangster. He's a pimp.
Right.
He's a waiter.
Right. He's the one that would be, he's a woman beater. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a rapist. He's like.
He's a disconnected father, which, fun fact, African American men are actually more involved in their children with their children than white men. So
but we don't talk about that.
That doesn't work in the media.
Right, exactly. Because that contradict the narrative that's constantly being pushed about black men. And then it's like, okay, now I'm getting this in a Harriet Tubman movie? Like, really? That's what y'all did to this movie? And, you know, I don't know. And that kind of, like, shut me down at that point. And also, fun fact, did you know that, you know, Byron Allen? So Byron Allen was suing Comcast for discrimination.
Oh.
And I think it's still going on. Now, Comcast owns Focus Features. Focus Features brought out Harriet. So it seems ironic that you're bringing out a movie about this, you know, black trailblazer at the same time, you're denying a black man his due as a businessman in fair practices. Oh, no. It's like, I just kind of...
It's a PR move.
Exactly. It's like, let's give you this watered down, just, you know, nothing of like a recount of Harriet Tubman. Actually, this could have been an after school special. I mean, there's nothing in this movie. Okay, it looked good. Acting was great. I'm not taking anything away from it. The director directed. It was fine. But what I got out of it as a black man was like, nah. Sorry.
So was this a crash and burn for you?
Yes. Yeah. And this coming from the black dude. Yeah. I'm sorry. But Harriet Tubman's story, Harriet Tubman deserved better. It deserved a better movie. It deserved a better depiction. It deserved a more honest depiction.
Right. So, I mean, it wasn't crash and burn for me. It was turbulence. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I don't like historic movies like this. I'd much rather go read a couple articles.
Yeah.
I find that more fascinating because you can get more facts.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, get this stuff.
The same team that did like Band of Brothers or I think it was Jefferson on HBO, mm-hmm. like a long season.
Right. It's like those mini series.
Right. For Harriet Tubman is needed.
Yes. Yes. And Spike Lee need to be executive producer. Yes. So that's me.
But it's not just for historic purposes. This is a type of story that could inspire young kids of color that they have their own superhero. They have. Yeah. I mean, she's a fucking superhero.
Yeah, she's a freak. Oh, she's such a badass.
We need more than a PG-13 movie that is safe to show in white counties.
Yeah, exactly. To ultimately make white people feel good.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, see, well, technically we didn't kill anybody because the black dude technically killed everyone in this movie. The white dude didn't. So, right. You know. So they're the monsters, not us. We're just businessmen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worried about saving our plantation.
Exactly. Oh, okay. I just want to read this quick tweet. Okay. So this tweet kind of follows what I'm saying. It's at Black Globe Villa. Said, at the end of Harriet, she forgives the white man who was her slave master while she kills the black man. In one swoop, this film is saying, forgive the white man, but hate and never forgive the black man. Most anti-black movie ever made in 2019.
Ouch.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, you can do it right. I mean, Malcolm X was a PG-13 movie, but that movie was brilliant. I mean,
also Spike Lee movie.
Exactly. And yeah, so, but this, like I said, just to kind of give cadence, like, yeah, it can be PG-13, but you can do it right. Like, Spike Lee took Malcolm X and did it flawlessly, and it was PG-13. And he wasn't trying to, you know, make, you know, the white woman. He wasn't trying to make the white. No, I'm sorry. The black woman. Wasn't trying to make the black woman look all, you know, like, you know, vicious and, you know. Yeah. No, whatever. Anyway, I'm done. Where can they find us, gentlemen?
I mean, you've already found us because you're listening to us.
And I'm sure a lot of people kind of probably tuned out at this point, but it's all good.
Make sure you share with your friends and definitely check out the Harriet Tubman website to get some cool history on a real woman. And continue to educate yourself on Black history.
Yes.
Because it is American history.
Yes. Yours and mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So until Thursday, we wish everyone safe travels and
peace.